genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
My next guest will enlighten us on the growth and innovation strategies of one of America's most successful innovators, Steve Jobs. There isn't a person today that isn't impacted by one of Steve Jobs' products, whether it's the Apple II, the Macintosh computer, the iPod, iTunes, iPhone, and now, most recently, the iPad. They're insanely great products that have changed the way that many of us interact with technology. These products broke the rules of computing in music and mobile phones, as well as personal productivity, and they're the result of relentless innovation and a pursuit of perfection. My next guest is going to explain how Steve Jobs innovates and comes up with all of these great products. Carmen Gallo is a presentation, media training, and communication skill coach for some of the world's most admired brands. He transforms executives into extraordinary presenters. He's also a keynote speaker and seminar leader around the world. He's a columnist for BusinessWeek.com, writing a popular column on the topic of leadership and communication. He contributes regularly to Monster.com, The Ladders, and Motivated Magazine. His current book is The Innovation Secrets of Steve Jobs. Carmine is a former television anchor and a business correspondent and also former vice president of media for Ketchum, one of the top five public relations firms in the world. He holds a bachelor's degree in political science from UCLA, just down the road, and a master's degree in broadcast journalism from Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism. Welcome to the show, Carmine. How are you today?
I am doing fine. Hello, Billy the Brain, or can I call you Bill?
You can call me Bill. That's what I go by. So thank you, Carmine. Great to have you on the show. I loved your book. Of course, I'm a big Apple fan. My listeners know that from the beginning. So you're preaching to the choir, at least when you're talking to me. But interesting point. Yesterday was a big day. Apple's share price hit a milestone yesterday. It topped $300 per share. That means that Apple Computer is now a $30 billion company in market cap. Incredible. And they achieved that with only 30 products in their product line. So what correlation is there between the share price and Steve Jobs' innovation and his vision, do you think?
Well, first of all, thank you for that. And I'm glad you're an Apple fan. But again, this is the type of book, when I write these books, especially this new one on Steve Jobs and innovation, it applies to everyone, regardless of whether they are Apple fans or whether they do not have any Apple products in their home whatsoever. It's all about creativity and innovation in business and how Steve Jobs continues to create such innovative, groundbreaking products and services. How do they become such a big company, $30 billion in value, $300 a share? When you create products that wow and delight your customers at every turn, when a two-year-old can pick up one of your products and just enjoy and have fun with it, it's that simplicity that I think people have to get back to. Bill, remember something, okay? Let's not forget. In 1997, when Steve Jobs returned to Apple after a 12-year absence, they had gone under a string of leaders where they lost focus of who their customers were. When Steve Jobs returned, they were about 3 months from bankruptcy.
Yes.
And he turned that thing around, and he turned it around using the same principles that have guided him his entire career.
Oh, well said. That and $150 million loan from Microsoft helped them stave that storm as well. So you've written this book about Steve Jobs, The Seven Innovation Secrets. I have to ask you, though, Carmine, can really a company learn to innovate like Apple by merely reading the book and absorbing those seven secrets?
I think these are principles that have not only guided Steve Jobs' success, but in every single one of the principles we talk about, I show and I talk about other companies, a lot of small companies, small, medium, and large, but mostly small companies, entrepreneurs, who have applied the same ethos or principle to their own companies. Some people actually have said, what would Steve do? How would Steve Jobs design this website? How would Steve Jobs design a product? let me give you an example. Okay,
sure.
There's a chapter called Say No to 1,000 Things,
right,
which is all about simplicity. The reason why people like Apple products is not because they continue to add more clutter and more features, but they eliminate. They introduced the iPhone, they eliminated the keyboard. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and one of his principles to innovation, Steve Jobs has actually said, say no to 1,000 things. We're more proud of what we don't do as we are of what we do. That's directly from Steve.
Yeah.
So I talk about some other companies. The most popular video camera on the market today is Flip.
Yep.
Flip video cams. They represent something like 36% of all video cameras sold. Well, they've only been around for a few years. When they came out, they asked themselves, how would Apple design this product? In fact, they were surrounded by Apple boxes and Apple products. How would Apple design something so simple that anybody can use it? And their vision, their goal, was to create a product that anybody could use out of the box within 30 seconds and start to enjoy. That was the goal. And anything that distracted from that use and that focus was thrown out. So too many buttons, too many levers. They don't even pack a CD in the there's nothing to install.
Wow.
In the Flip camera. The USB is connected directly to the camera. And if you look at the box, it looks remarkably like an Apple product. But the point is simplicity. How can we make something so simple to use and so fun to use that people know intuitively and instinctively what to do with it? And they were criticized at first. A few people said, oh, this is too much like a toy. And they said, you know what, BS, we're going to go with this because we know that simplicity sells. And you need to be simple, all of your users. You need to be simple in your communications, on your website. Is it too hard to find something on your website? Look at the Apple website. They feature one big product, one product, and they eliminate the rest. Are you simple in your communications, your website, your product design? Everything. Simplicity sells.
We're talking to Carmine Gallo, everybody. He's the author of the book, The Innovation Secrets of Steve Jobs. And Carmine, in everything that you're saying, I agree with it. It makes a whole lot of sense. You've done great research on this. But the underlying principle in all of this, no matter what company you are, to follow these principles takes absolute courage. I mean, you mentioned Flip and the comments, the negative comments that they had at first on their Flip camera. And they could have stopped right there and said, no, we need to make the camera more complex. But it took courage for them to stick to their guns, and now, of course, they've got, as you say, 36% of the market. That's a huge market share in video cameras. Talk to us about the role that courage plays in guiding your company to simplicity and following these rules.
Well, that's why I don't think anyone... See, I wrote a book on innovation and Steve Jobs, but I don't think, if you ask me, can anyone innovate like Steve Jobs? The answer is no. No, they can't, because it takes courage. It takes courage to reduce the number of products you have from about 350 to 10, which is what Steve Jobs did when he returned in 1997. It takes courage to create something so simple that a two-year-old can use it. It takes courage to reduce the lines of code in their software to make it streamlined and easy to use. It takes courage for someone to give a presentation, Bill, and have one word on a slide.
Yeah.
That Steve Jobs often does.
Yeah, he's a great presenter.
Yeah. I mean, it takes courage, and a lot of people were naysayers, and they were skeptics throughout his career. You know, there was the famous quote by Ken Olson at Digital Equipment in the late 70s, no one wants a computer in their home.
Well, we now know that Ken Olson was not prescient in that comment at all. But there you go. Speaking of courage, one of our great presidents here in the United States was Ronald Reagan, and I've got a pass for four people. Free admission to the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library and Museum. That's out in Simi Valley. If you haven't been there, you need to go see this. This is an amazing collection of all of the memorabilia surrounding President Ronald Reagan. I'm going to give that away to the 10th caller at 639-0008. 10th caller at 639-0008. So call in and win yourself a free pass to go out to the Ronald Reagan Library. Carmen,
I have never been there, Bill, and I am dying to go at some point.
Oh,
what a great place.
You owe it to yourself. It
what
is a wonderful place. place. Yes, and next time you come down, we'll treat you. If you come down this way, look us up and we'll treat you, okay?
That'd be my pleasure.
All right. Now, Carmine Gallo is my special guest here. Let's go through the principles, because I think the principles that you've outlined, you've distilled them down from your research, are brilliant. And let's start with the first one, which is really where Steve Jobs himself starts. That is, do what you love. What do you mean by that? Why is that so important to being an innovator?
Well, remember, this is from Steve Jobs himself. These are the words that he has spoken over the years. I was a little concerned about this first principle because I was looking for some grand theory of innovation. And I was reading a lot of Harvard research, which was, you know, so complex to me, I couldn't quite get my mind around it.
Sure.
And finally, an economist told me, an economist who's actually now a newspaper journalist, so he's more of a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Carmine, that all that dense stuff that comes out of the research labs and universities, they're not made for you. You're not expected to understand it. They're written by PhDs for PhDs. And that opened up everything for me. Then I realized, we need to make innovation simple. And so when I talk to analysts who have been following Apple for many, many years, I mean, that's all these guys do is follow Apple as a company. I asked one point blank, what's the secret to Jobs' success? And he said, without hesitation, well, he follows his heart. He does what he loves.
Hmm.
And when Steve Jobs was asked, what is the secret to success? What would you advise entrepreneurs? You know what he said, Bill?
What?
Go get a job as a busboy until you find out what you're passionate about.
There you go. And because, that's what he did. I mean, yeah. Tell us a little bit about his life story for those listeners who may not know how he came to be where he is today.
Well, this was in, remember, 1974. He met, and befriended his high school pal, Steve Wozniak, who somebody introduced those two. And what they had in common was electronics and gadgets. And they loved fiddling with gadgets and playing with things. And this was just when computers were starting to grow into what's called a hobbyist market. So not everyday people were using it.
Right.
And Steve Jobs had a vision, and he said to himself, my goodness, I think average people can use this computer to move their lives forward. And he was passionate about electronics and tinkering and doing all those things, and that's what he followed. He followed his heart. But here's what's very interesting. He's had a story a couple of years ago where he talked about following his passion wherever it would go, hoping or having faith that those lines would connect in the future somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so he actually dropped out of college. You know, we're not recommending people drop out of school, but he did drop out of college in the 70s. And he dropped out to drop into the classes he wanted. So he actually stayed in college for about 18 months and took classes he really enjoyed, that he felt passionate about. And one of those was calligraphy. And he said, you know, calligraphy had no practical application to my life, but I knew that if I just follow my passion, those connections are going to make sense somehow. I'm going to have faith that things are going to connect for me. And they did. So when he first created the Macintosh, it was the first computer to have beautiful typefaces and fonts. Otherwise, we'd still be typing in those green line commands that we used to, you know,
right,
before Macintosh came around.
Absolutely. We're talking
so
to Carmine.
All these great innovations came about, Bill, because he followed that which his heart led him to.
We're talking to Carmine Gallo, everybody, author of the book, The Innovation Secrets of Steve Jobs, a great read, great gift for Christmas time coming up as well. One of the second principle in the book, which I found interesting, and this comes directly, I guess, from Steve Jobs himself, is put a dent in the universe. Now, tell me about that, because I've got I have a follow-up question on that as well. But what did he mean by put a dent in the universe?
Well, this is something, after doing a lot of research and talking to people, I realized, my gosh, innovation stems from vision. You have to have a vision for where you want to take society or how you want to improve your brand or your company. So his vision, Steve Jobs' vision, was to put a computer in the hands of everyday people. That was the vision. Very concise, simple, bold. Remember, this was when computers were relegated to the hobbyist markets, and
right,
everyday people were using it.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Xerox one day. 1979, he went to the Xerox research facility, and he saw a new computer being tested that had a graphical user interface, and you would actually interact with it via icons on the screen, and you use something called a mouse. And he said, wait a minute, that will help me fulfill my vision of putting a computer in the hands of everyday people. But here's the interesting thing, Bill. This was the big epiphany for me. Is he said, there was a quote from him once, kind of buried in some of the archives. He said, Xerox could have dominated the computer industry, but their vision was limited to making a new computer. My vision was to put a computer in the hands of everyday people. And that was a great epiphany for me, Bill. I realized, oh my gosh, vision is so important to innovation because two people can see the same thing and yet perceive it differently based on their vision for the future.
And perception is the key here, Carmen. I'm going to challenge you a little bit on this one, though, because when he says, you know, put a dent in the universe, that sounds like such a very boomer thing to say because we are the product of the 60s and all of that. And I'm lumping you into the boomer set, by the way. But you communicate, you teach communications to a lot of different people, and we've got multiple generations out there in the workforce today. I mean, don't different generations have different ideals? Isn't put a dent in the universe really just a kind of a boomer ideal?
No, absolutely. I just think it has to do with being bold and having a bold, commanding vision that inspires people. You know, Steve Wozniak never would have joined forces with Steve Jobs unless he was inspired by his vision. Think about what John Kennedy did in 1961. He said, I have a vision to put a man on the moon and return him safely to Earth by the end of the decade. And scientists said it was because of that vision that set forces in motion. That's what I mean by put a dent in the universe. If you're going to have a vision, would you make it bold?
That's the key.
Bold enough to inspire me to join you.
That is the key. Now, I want to come back and talk about something that you began talking about earlier, and that is say no to 1,000 things in order to say yes to what's really important, that laser beam focus that we talk about. How does Apple carry that laser beam focus into their product line today?
Well, certainly, Jonathan Ive is the head of design at Apple, mm-hmm. and this is one of his philosophies. They look at products and they say, what can we remove? In other words, anything that gets in the way of the focus of that product should be eliminated. So when the iPod came out, the reason why it was so popular is because it made it dead simple to download and share music quickly. So any buttons, any navigation tools that add too much clutter and that actually confuse the user is removed, which is the beauty of the iPad. Now, the iPad, there's a popular YouTube video of a little two-year-old that actually, you know, they turned it on, and she just started using it because it was so intuitive to use her fingers.
Yes.
The other day, I was at a coffee shop nearby, and I saw a group of little girls, you know, I don't know, they must have been about 8 years old. There were four or five of them, and they were all surrounding an iPad, and they were giggling and laughing, and I thought, that's it. When you can design a product, and I think this applies to your services as well and your website, okay? It applies to everything. But when you can design something that's so intuitive and so simple and fun to use that it brings joy to people, then you'll win over your customers. But you got to think about that through everything, not only product design, but how you design your website, how you communicate the message behind it, everything. Say no. Eliminate that which is unnecessary. Steve Jobs quoted Leonardo da Vinci, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. Everything is about how to make things dead simple.
Absolutely right. We're talking to Carmine Gallo, everybody, author of the book, The Innovation Secrets of Steve Jobs. Carmine, we're going to have to end it here. I'm sorry, there's so much more to cover, but we'll have you back at some point in the future. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
Thanks for your time, Bill.
You bet. I'll talk to you later, Carmine. Bye now.